You are listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
This is 1 hour of fun from the show this morning.
Don't worry, you can still catch the entire show on your favorite podcast app.
And you can watch the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba on Blaze TV.
Enjoy the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
And away we go. A brand new hour from the Big Boy Studio out on the bleeding edge of technology. From Sweet Home, Alabama to the world. Thank you for being with us today. Speedy, the real Greg Burgess, they've already knocked out the kickoff hour. Helmsy is coaching tennis in a conference tournament, so he's been out most of the week. Lord willing, back next week. Eddie Van Adler settles in for the YouTube experience. Hello to the tubers watching us either live or on the YouTube archive. We thank you for being with us. Yesterday's Wednesday Bible Study archive now available on our YouTube channel or our podcast channel, whichever you prefer. And you do have daily archives of the entire show every day on our YouTube channel and our podcast channel. A best of hour also available for you if you just kind of want to get a nutshell of the day. You can catch that on our podcast channel, or you can watch that on Blaze TV if you're a Blaze TV subscriber. And there's also, believe it or not, local television stations and various cable stations that also carry that best of hour. Just check your local listings for that. So however you're here, whether it be live or on an archive, we are thankful that you are here. We have another day to unpack for you. We need the silver tongue one, the man with a golden voice, professional lunch eaters man of the year, the inventor of pizza and a cup, Shakespeare's worst nightmare, and the master of the king's English. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Bill Bubba Bussin!
About it, Rick Burgess. Friends, neighbors, associates everywhere. Howdy.
Roll me away tonight. And we roll clean out of sight. There he goes, Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band.
Big Bob.
On his motorcycle headed west.
Yep.
And in that song, Bubba, and you and I got to do this, he says at one point he stands alone on the Great Divide.
Yep.
I could go east, I could go west. It was all up to me to decide.
Yeah, I stood there, I looked down.
Mm-hmm.
Lost a lot of friends.
Just then I saw a young hawk flying and my soul began to rise. All right, so Bubba, we're unpacking another one today. One of our favorites, Coach Skip Holtz, will drop by.
Oh, good. I'm glad to talk to him. He's winning again.
You know,
he just keeps winning.
Yeah, you and I have a pretty, if you're kind of a dude and somewhat normal, you probably like these things. Today, you and I get to talk football with Skip Holtz. We get to talk professional bass fishing with Dustin Connell and the Rick and Bubba University podcast today. And if the time works out on everybody's schedule, might get to roll over to the Kevin Derrybury Golf Tournament today.
Yeah, that I always enjoy going to that, doing the podcast on Thursdays, and it being on Thursdays has been a problem the last few years.
Makes it a little more complicated.
It is. It delays us a little bit, but we'll try to get it all in today.
We'll do it. And so if you're coming in for Kevin Derrybury's golf tournament, Kevin came by yesterday. Of course, he was in love with Jesus.
I love you designing this poster, but I love Jesus more.
So anyway, Kevin, his ministry, yesterday Kevin hung around.
I might quit doing that if I'm going to be invited to play golf.
He loves it.
Well, look, he needs you today, you know. I mean, we got Kevin right where we want him today. But
I don't think he needs anything.
No.
He'll have a great turnout like always.
He does. I talked with him yesterday a little bit, and I just want to get an update. I said, because he also receives a grant every month for all of you that support the Bronner Burgess Memorial Fund. You help support Kevin's ministry. And I was asking him how it was going, and, man, it sounds like God just continues to. You know, we went back to, you know, he was telling me the testimony, you know, which we've all heard so many times from Kevin, but really powerful testimony. And it's also a testimony of the power of prayer of godly parents. And I have certainly been there and certainly there now. Sometimes you just need to pray for them, you know, especially when they make their own decisions. And his parents prayed for him for years, and he told me, this part I guess I'd forgotten yesterday, that when he left Telluride because he felt called to get out of that scene,
because they were playing, you know, bars and stuff like that, and his life was kind of upside down, that he, at one point, when after he'd given his life to Christ, did not have any income of any kind, didn't have any money in the bank, and he said, I didn't know what to do, and he said, Scott Dawson asked me to come and play at a youth event and give my testimony, but he said he couldn't pay me, but I could sell my CDs. And he said, and then that time, all those youth pastors were there, and he got introduced to all them, and he said, so I had to go do one more Telluride gig in Huntsville. He set up for a New Year's Eve gig. It was my final gig with Telluride. And when I came back, remember when you had phone machines?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
He said my phone machine was full of people asking me to come and do stuff at youth events and stuff like that.
Okay.
And he said, I've never missed it since.
Wow.
They do all kinds of stuff in prison ministry, recovery ministry, and of course all the stuff Kevin does, going around giving his testimony stuff. So good to see him. And those of you that are coming today to play in that tournament, most of you probably know that because that's why you're coming. But you might be a guest of someone. But if you don't know what you're supporting today, you're making a difference. So look forward to seeing all of you out there for a little lunch and a little visit. And I hope you all have a great day. Looks like the Alabama weather will be kind to you today.
Good.
So
Kevin's got a great record of that, too.
He really does. And there's been times when it looked like it wasn't going to work.
Yeah. Well. But
you know, Kevin's one of those people, when you see him, you just start smiling.
Yeah, you have to.
You know, and he's not a big fella.
He's one of the good guys.
You know, he's not
no
a big fella.
He's not.
No doubt. It's just his whole attitude, like you're talking about, just that laid back, just to, you know, if you just, like you always sum him up, I just love Jesus.
He just always positive.
Yeah.
You know where he stands.
You sure. You know, anyway, that's happening today. I told you what we'll do on the Rick and Bubba University podcast. We'll talk Major League Fishing. We also have two contests going on at rickandbubba.com, one of them involving VIP, a VIP weekend at Alabama, the Alabama Indy Grand Prix, which benefits Children's Hospital as well. Riley Green will be the Grand Marshal. You get to meet him. So that's there. And also, Bubba Fix Mama's Mouth is back.
There it is.
If you want to enter your mama, you know, mama always thinks of herself last. And you've been looking at mama's teeth, and maybe she puts a hand over her mouth because she don't like to smile, and she's done so much for all of you. I mean, could you get her a new grill? So just go grill. There. Well, I'm just trying to tell the kids. I mean, she's done a lot for y'all.
That's what we've heard.
Yeah, can't you? Yeah, every letter we read.
Yep.
So fill out that information. Somehow try to get mama to let you take a picture of her teeth. I don't know how you're going to do that, but most of you have worked that out and send all that in.
Yeah.
And so all of it's there at the contest button.
That's it. Smile real big, mama. Why are you zooming in?
Mama, come a little closer.
Yeah. No, show me them teeth, mama. I got to see them. It's part of the requirement.
Right. I mean, you have to do it.
Yeah, we got
to
see the teeth, y'all.
We got to know.
We got to know
she's a candidate.
Know what we're up against.
We got to know she's a candidate. All right, we'll be back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Yeah, I talked about this with you the other day, and I'll mention it again. As a matter of fact, looking at a picture my wife just sent me from the home, and she is so excited at how the plants and the trees are flourishing in this most wonderful time of year. You know, and thanks to the folks at Fast Growing Trees, man, they're standing by. You know, because there's nothing worse than for you to go out and invest in trees and plants. You don't have a green thumb. You don't have the expertise that their experts have. I would certainly, or my wife and I would fall into that category. You just want it to look great, but you don't really quite know what you're doing. It could be something as simple as you've ordered the wrong plants and trees for your climate. It could be that simple. So fastgrowingtrees.com, boy, they can help you. They have everything you could possibly want. Fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, house plants, so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. So find the perfect fit for your climate and also the space. You know, certain plants need shade, some need sun, too much of one, not enough of the other, that kind of stuff. Hey, that's not enough room for that plant where you're wanting to plant it. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. So now you're not going off, dragging that stuff home in the back of your truck or car. You got dirt everywhere, pots laying over. They also have their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee. They offer free like I said, plant consultation forever. You always can access them, not just, hey, I'm talking to you, hey, you bought from us, see you later. No, they're with you all the time, okay? So why don't you go right now and take advantage of this offer, and you can have plants and trees and other things that they offer for your climate, and you can have those thriving so you can truly enjoy them. And boy, spring is the best deals online. About half off, up to half off on select plants. So right now, select plants and other deals, half off. And then, of course, you get an additional 15% no matter what you get on the first purchase when you use the code Bubba at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code Bubba at checkout. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Well, Bubba, we're not going to wait long on this one today when it comes to Biden.
Where did he go?
Where did he go?
Lord help. He's hiding in the basement. Does anybody know? Basement Joe.
Well, I couldn't believe the headline, Bubba. You couldn't believe the headline.
Well, I haven't heard this speech yet.
Yeah.
But we did see earlier this week a story where the president has claimed his heritage of about eight different groups of people.
He can empathize with anyone.
Any group he's in. Growing up, he was confused why his last name wasn't SKI when he was in the Polish community. Mm-hmm. When he was talking to the Italians, he thought his last name should have ended in O.
Yes.
I mean, he's always there to empathize with whatever group you're in. But I saw this today, and I thought, who is he empathizing with?
Well, he's still doubling down and saying the former president, President Trump, he still continues this unsubstantiated narrative that our president called those that are are buried in France. What was it? Losers.
Yeah.
Suckers and losers.
Suckers and losers. He continues that narrative, but he wants us to know that his family heritage, and when it comes to service to our country, he wants to introduce us, Bubba, to his uncle, Ambrose J. Finnegan.
Okay.
Now, he's going to tell you he was shot down. The Pentagon says they think it was engine failure. But then he goes further about where the plane went down and what happened to his uncle.
In New Guinea, 1940.
I think he's suggesting, just listen.
Ambrose Finnegan, we called him Uncle Bosie, he was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps. Before there was an Air Force, he flew single-engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He had volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals in New Guinea at the time. They never recovered his body, but the government went back when I went down there, and they checked and found parts of the plane and the like. And what I was thinking about when I was standing there was when Trump refused to go up to the memorial for veterans in Paris, and he said they're a bunch of suckers and losers.
He looks so much like the puppet. All right, so
it's hard to get over. Keep in mind, this story and this narrative about Trump is changed again. He said he went to Memorial and called them suckers and losers. Now, before, he refused to go to the cemetery and call them suckers. Pay attention how this thing has important. Legs of its own. He's going to vary the story because he can't remember it.
Also, keep in mind, I caught this one when I heard it this then. I didn't catch it when I heard it yesterday. He's acting like when he was in New Guinea as whatever he was in the
government. You're talking about Uncle Bosie?
Yeah. And he was standing at the remains of the plane. Then he thought about Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that timeline doesn't work either. I mean, he wouldn't have been thinking
about
Trump then.
I'm going to submit this to you. Yeah. I haven't looked at the numbers. Right. He said we called him Uncle Bosie or whatever. Uncle Bosie would have had to have been at least 18 to be in the military.
Right.
Look at Biden's age. Look where we are. Is it even possible he was old enough to know him and call him by that name?
If his uncle was flying.
And I haven't run the numbers up. Maybe they overlap. I don't know.
Well, let's go back. When did
the Air Force? I have to see the numbers.
Yeah, when did the Air Force start? Because he said his uncle was in this plane when we didn't have an Air Force. It was just called Army Air Corps.
Yeah,
when did Uncle Bosie go down?
It wasn't technically the Air Force, but he was shot down in 1940. He had to be at least 18.
Right.
If he was a pilot, and again, if you look in the story, he wasn't a pilot. He was a passenger on that plane. But to hear Biden, he took enemy fire flying, you know, the way he's telling
it. He even said that he filled in for somebody that couldn't do it. He was heroic in so many ways. And I'm not saying his uncle wasn't a hero. Yeah. But we do need to be factual. The uncle, I didn't even know that part, Bubba, was a passenger. And his uncle's, they think, engine failure. And all terrible.
Did the cannibals eat Uncle Bo's?
Well, he died
in service to his country in World War II. That is a fact.
Right.
But now some of these areas that Biden's trying to embellish on is simply not true.
And then he throws in the suggestion he could have been eaten by cannibals.
Yeah.
Bubba, don't leave that out.
He said he went down in an area that was known to have cannibals, and we never recovered his body.
Yes, he did.
That's what he suggested.
Did they say, what's on the menu tonight? Bozy.
We got Bozy.
Is he suggesting his uncle was eaten by cannibals?
But why? I'm looking here. And everything I see says Ambrose Finnegan died in 1957.
Maybe that's a different
one. No, it could be a different guy.
Okay, now I found a different Ambrose J. Finnegan that died in 44.
Okay.
But this, it must be another Ambrose J. Finnegan.
Okay, so this.
But okay, this is the great-grandfather of Joe Biden.
In the same story, it says his plane crashed in 1940s, and his remains were never located. Then, as you go down, it says the courier flight suffered engine failure and ditched in the ocean on May the 14th, 1944. So maybe it was the technical year was 44. The first part said in the 40s, which that would be correct, but it does change the timeline a little bit.
Did they not declare him dead until 57 or something? Because everywhere I look, it says. Anyways, all right.
They think they got something.
Are we just going to move past cannibals ate my uncle?
Right. Yeah.
Because it seems like we're moving past that.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the most intriguing thing about the story.
Right.
Is that the president suggesting his uncle was eaten by cannibals,
and nobody checks up on it.
Right.
Right.
And that would be deemed racist if Trump had said it. I'm sure.
Oh, of course.
Sure.
What, but to the people that are cannibals. That don't want us to be insensitive to cannibals.
Right. Okay. Yes. Yes. There are so many just horrible things that have happened during Biden's presidency that they just ignore. If Afghanistan, the fall of Haiti. Haiti is just a failed state. We don't hear anything about it right now.
Well, you can't mention.
They'd have a death count on CNN if that was going on during Trump's presidency.
True. Of course it would.
Biden also yesterday said that he was talking to Israel. And he says that Israel, we warned them not to attack. And unfortunately, the area and the city that he's going to say is in Israel. So he's going to tell Israel not to attack Israel. If you guys want to hear this clip from yesterday.
Yeah, bring that beauty.
So he's going to say Haifa. It's H-A-I-F-A. But that's actually in Israel. So he's telling Israel to not attack Israel.
And I made it clear to Israelis, don't move on Haifa. It's just not, I mean... Anyway, I just...
Guys, I think he realized...
Look what we did recently when Israel was attacked.
He's so confused. He's so
I
confused.
Think he realized, did I just mess up, but I can't remember what I told him.
He realized he said something that didn't make sense.
Haifa is the third largest city in Israel.
You could tell he realized, I think I'm messing up, but he couldn't get it back.
Behind Jerusalem and Tel Aviv.
He couldn't get it back.
Yeah, what did I tell him?
And I think there's more...
So he told Israel not to move on Haifa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they said we can do that.
I bet they said no problem there.
Got it.
I wish you'd tell our enemies not to move on Haifa.
Third largest city behind Jerusalem and Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
I hear there's cannibals there, so watch out.
All right.
Okay. So he says his uncle was eaten by cannibals. He suggested.
We'll be back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Listening to the president, it's not a good day for the president. He suggests that his uncle was eaten by cannibals, and now he just told Israel not to attack their third largest city.
Yeah, Haifa.
Yeah, and so they said, Roger that.
Right behind Jerusalem and Tel Aviv, Rick. Pretty big place.
Well,
of a million people.
You could see that he knew something wasn't right about that sentence, but was not. Cognitively, that's a tough word to say, able to save it himself. He couldn't go back and fix it. And
he got his wits about him, Rick.
Well, now Adler says there's more. And so Adler set this one up. What happens here?
So he's gonna talk about an experience that he had kind of going through real America. He's pretty isolated as the president. I don't think he sees a lot of real America.
He's Basement Joe.
He's Basement Joe, you know. And so
He's all over Scranton.
Yeah. Here is his.
He's been to Scranton more than Michael Scott.
He saw a Trump sign, and he saw a kid on the side of the road, and he was kind of shocked. So here's President Biden.
I've never thought I'd see a sign when I'm going through a neighborhood or a rural town in the West or something, and see big signs that have a Trump sign in the middle that says F. Biden, having a little kid standing with his middle finger, 7 years old, 8 years old. Oh, I promise. It happens all the time.
I bet.
It's not who we are.
That does not happen all the time.
So he gets flipped off by kids all the time.
That's just not.
Also, if you're getting flipped off by kids all the time, maybe you should look at yourself.
Right.
Maybe you should look inward.
You know, kids have a second sight. They see stuff.
But now keep in mind, he's not saying that kid's families who his administration has ruined their lives have told their kids that they hate Biden and Biden's ruining their lives. It couldn't be that.
No.
President Trump himself are making kids give him the finger. And it happens all the time.
All the time. Rick, he's never been shot a bird by a kid, not one time.
I wish we could get someone, a real journalist, to dig into this Trump calling soldiers suckers and losers.
I know.
I've done just a little bit of digging on it, and right. Biden's using this quite a bit lately, so they must have some polling data on it that is something that hits home with people. I don't, in my wildest dream, think that anybody would do that.
No.
And in looking into it yesterday, level one stuff, it looks like they're trying to tie three different events together.
No, I think you're right, yeah.
And they have taken a bit and piece out of each event and tried to make it into one event.
Right.
And even Biden, he said, you know, it was at the graves of soldiers from D-Day, and then he said it was a memorial he was at.
In Paris,
I promise you, Trump's not hitting all these sacred places and making a speech that these people were suckers and losers. So they're trying to build this narrative up. And one of the stories that I read yesterday, just to show you how they do this, Trump wanted to go to this cemetery at Normandy, but they were having torrential rains and had for a few days, and the Secret Service squashed the visit and said, look, we can't get you out there. The weather's too bad. The roads are too bad. You know, the armored car we go in weighs, you know, so much more than regular cars. It's just not safe.
Mm-hmm.
We need to wait till it's drier to go to this place. So the Secret Service squashed that trip. Well, this is one of the narratives where you hear he refused to go to the cemetery.
Sure,
that is not the case.
Right.
Okay. The other one I heard was where he was touring, and this is the one that John Kelly was involved in.
Correct.
Who has come out, and he's bashed Trump about some of this. But now, remember, John Kelly was also a disgruntled fired employee. You got to remember that. So him and Kelly and some other staff people were touring Arlington, and it was a section, I think the number, if I remember right, was section 60 or something. And they said, this is, and Kelly had told Trump, this is where the soldiers we lost during Afghanistan and Iraq are buried. And Trump is looking over it, and he shakes his head, and he said, you know, it was such a waste that we lost people over that. It was a real.
Because he was against that war.
And he said it was a real loser for these guys. That's what he said. Well, it turned around, and John Kelly didn't start a fight with Trump on the spot. What you calling soldiers losers?
Right.
It seemed like he would have.
Yeah.
He would have been totally offended. Trump said this was losers for these guys. In other words, he's looking at people that gave their life, and he feels like it was for nothing because the U.S. did not accomplish their goals and gave Afghanistan back, and look at it today. So that story turned into these people are losers, and that isn't what he said.
Right.
And that story's been perpetrated. So you have the story of he refused to go to the cemetery. He called soldiers losers. There's another story mixed in with it, too, and it turns into this narrative that Biden's saying that really never happened. Now, did he go right up to the line, and did he offend some people with his comments on
John McCain.
John McCain, yes, he did. But they've tried to take that and turn it into a much bigger story that really never happened, that I have seen. Now, maybe there's other evidence out there. I don't know. But if that was said, it would have been highly offensive, and I don't think anybody would have liked that.
Well, and remember, when you have things that are based, and I think y'all are 100% right, that they're taking three different stories and piecing them into one story and making them sound like one narrative. And if you listen, you can hear the inconsistencies. But, you know, when I want to know what it looks like for those who want to believe that he actually did this, I just wait for the email from Danny the Democrat.
Right.
And Danny the Democrat, he is going to land on the John Kelly comment, and you can't move him off that. Well, John Kelly said he said it.
Right.
And so.
Well, let me ask you this. John Kelly is highly offended that Trump said that right now. He was standing there when he said it. Why didn't he object then? He apparently didn't say a word about it, according to the witnesses that were there, because that isn't what Trump said.
Right.
Now, maybe John Kelly thought that's what he said, but the other people, well, there were several low-level staffers, and they've gone on the line to said Trump said this was a loser for them.
Well,
we could all say that. Mm-hmm. We've probably said that on the show.
Yeah.
This was a loser for people who gave their life, and then we didn't finish the deal and just let it go.
And we should have finished it and could have finished it. But what happened, you know this, just think about any courtroom. You know, the lawyer against you would say, so did you or did you not look at the graves of people who had died and said that this was a loser for them? Yeah, I said that. So see, yeah, but do you want to hear the whole story, what I was saying and the whole conversation around that? You know what I mean?
Trump was mad that these people had to sacrifice their life for a cause that we didn't think was valuable enough to follow through. They did their job to the country. They are heroes because they did what they were asked to do. Mm-hmm. But it's the leadership of the country that failed them.
Right.
Just like we did in Vietnam.
Yeah.
We did it again.
Yeah.
We haven't learned anything.
I disagree with Trump that we should have never been in it. I agree with him that we should have either not gone or finished it. Now, that I agree with.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with that with all wars.
Yeah. Well, you know, Trump, it's just like North Korea. He feels like the greatest weapon that we have is economic, not missiles, not, you know, bullets. That if you can show these people that they can be part of the world community by having resorts or tourism or whatever, that is so much more valuable to them long term than winning some battle that doesn't matter.
And being nation builders.
Yep. Incredible.
Bubba, this may be surprising to you. Bill Belichick, one of the most successful coaches in NFL history. He is 20. He's 72 as of yesterday, and he is now he joined the show that we have a love hate relationship with, the Pat McAfee show, and he shared his thoughts about coffee, and a lot of folks were surprised. Says that coffee has never been part of Bill Belichick's daily routine. Are you surprised he doesn't drink coffee?
Well, based on the speed of his press conferences, I would no, I'm not shocked that he's never had caffeine.
That's good.
Maybe he needs some.
Yeah. So it says that McAfee said he offered to Belichick when they had dinner together an espresso martini. And he said, I tried to get an espresso martini, and I found out that Bill Belichick hates coffee. And I had no idea. Quote from Bill Belichick, I have never had a cup of coffee in my life.
Wow. Well, how does he know he doesn't like it?
Yeah, I started to say, wouldn't you have one to know you don't like it?
Yeah.
So I don't know. And they, you know, at 72, there's no takers on him being a coach in the NFL, which I guess it has to be just the age because his success is obvious.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things, too. He needs 15 wins to be the winningest coach all time and pass Don Shula.
Right.
So you know in the back of his mind he would like to get that. Now, that's probably two seasons in the NFL to do that. There's also a story out, you know, he was in the running for the Falcons job down to the very end of it.
Right.
And he did not get that job. And there's a story out today that his former owner of the Patriots actually intervened and told them not to hire him, that he was too much trouble.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I wonder about that.
Blanks is the owner of the Falcons. Isn't that his name? Blanks
Arthur?
Or?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
But anyway, that he intervened and said, look, you don't want this guy.
Mm.
Hmm. Which is shocking considering how close they appear to be, even when he left the team on good terms.
But you would think the long hours coaches have, you know, I know his energy level in press conferences, he hates those. He seems pretty.
Well, that's very obvious.
But the long hours coaches have, you would think he would have coffee or something like that.
Well, he says he drinks orange juice. He said orange juice is
which
what
we know is good for you, based on yesterday's story.
We had that story. Yeah. It says he drinks that to stay energized. He said, I can drink tea. I like tea. He said, but don't worry. I've got a lot of other vices that make up for it. He says, that's just one of the few I don't have.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't start drinking coffee until I was in my
It wasn't that long ago.
Late 40s, early 50s?
Yeah.
I've still never learned to drink it.
Yeah.
I started just for the reason you said, when I went to work for the power company, we'd work long hours that I'd drink it to stay awake.
Yeah.
I'd never drank it up to that point.
I didn't do it to stay, you know, to wake up because, honestly, I've never really had a problem with that. You know, usually I just never have been one of these people that struggles for energy or anything like that. And so that didn't draw me to it. I really was drawn to it because it looks like people who drink it have a really cool social experience. And my wife loves coffee.
That's where I'm at now.
And she, you know, and now
you get to have coffee mugs and stand around the coffee pot.
I just wanted to be part of the coffee community.
And shake ups and all that hot water. Yeah. Oh, it's work. Oh, the pot ain't working.
Medium
today.
Roast, dark roast.
Yeah. I miss
what
all
about you roasted.
I love roast all that. I love all that.
Rick, now, I like a good Saturday morning.
Yes.
Read the news. Yes. And a cup of coffee.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things. And plus, like it was good that I started drinking
you
coffee.
Shoe the horses later in the
I
day.
I do later in the day.
So before my, you know, before Dad went on into glory, that Dad actually had a period of my life that was very short that he wasn't ashamed of me, because
well,
he was a coffee drinker from the time he woke up to the time he went to bed, and he and Mom and I was not a coffee drinker, and for a while it was kind of a scourge on the family.
And
Sherry, too. Sherry was like, wow, so I can't even drink coffee with my husband.
It made the long hair look like nothing.
It really did.
I remember when
he looks
started
at that mullet and says, if you drink coffee, I'll give a pass on the mullet.
Yeah, that's true. When you started drinking, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, since we've been on the show together.
Well, to your point, Greg, before you joined the show.
Y'all wouldn't even make a pot.
No. And people were surprised because I would say, no, there's no coffee drinkers on the show.
They're
like, what? Y'all do so early in the morning? Y'all don't drink coffee? No.
And I've told y'all this before, but the person who got me drinking coffee was John Thomas.
Okay.
Out of South Africa. We were in South Africa, and John was, Sherry was all excited, and they were all getting coffee, he and his wife, Sherry, and there I was over there again. Rick, you not drink coffee? And I said, nah, I'm a big coffee guy. Oh, have you ever had African coffee? No, sir, I haven't. Oh, Rick, I am going to fix for you a cup of real coffee. You will love it. And I was like, okay. So
he
brought it to me, and I became the guy on Green Eggs and Ham.
There you go.
I drank it.
Say.
But what I realized is, you know, high-quality coffee versus basically this dark water that I was trying,
right.
Big difference.
Yeah. Yes.
Big difference.
And you evolve, I did, from I'm putting a bunch of sugar and cream in it to
same.
I'm just drinking it black because I don't want to fool with putting a bunch of sugar and cream in it.
No surprise.
Does it taste better with it? It does. It actually does. But I just don't want to fool with it.
No, we have a thing at home where Sherry will go, I'm fixing coffee. Do you want fun coffee or just functional coffee?
Mm-hmm.
And fun coffee means I put the cream in it and all that.
Yeah.
And
just give it to me black.
And I'm like, just functional coffee, please. But
milk in that.
I don't like it hot. See, I'm not used to drinking hot stuff.
You don't like
hot stuff? I thought you liked hot Mellow Yellows.
That's not hot.
Well,
that's room temperature.
Yeah, right. It's warm.
But
he treats it like it's hot.
Yeah. Well, and then I did
get it in the microwave.
And then I did notice the benefits if you talk for a living.
I'd have on
There is benefits to having a warm, hot drink. With all that, you know, how you're trying to get your voice clear for the day and all that. I don't want to be gross, but it really helps with that. And as y'all all not surprised, Greg, same way, I'm not drinking it black now because I'm trying to say, hey, only real coffee drinker black. I'm really drinking it black because I just tired hassling with, you know, with trying to find cream and sweeteners and all that.
We got too many choices now. But our dad was such a coffee drinker.
Oh,
back in those days.
I've never seen anything like it.
It wasn't just readily available at every convenience store like it is now. And he would leave the house with his own thermos.
Yes. He would not be without it every day.
So he didn't like going through Starbucks?
Oh, Bubba! If my dad could have taken a acetylene torch and burned every Starbucks to the ground before he passed, he would have.
You know? Rick, he caught me drinking out of a straw that time, and he was so mad about it.
Oh my gosh!
He went on and on. And the only reason I do that is if I'm driving And it's one of the
straw.
Well, if it's one from the gas
station.
No,
on his behalf.
But the little caps where you don't spill it, they burn your mouth.
Yeah, they do.
I mean, would I rather it not being a straw? Yeah.
Sure.
But sometimes I have.
Oh, he went crazy when he saw me drinking out of a straw.
Rick, of course, the next time I went in and got him a cup, I brought it out with a straw in it.
I tell you one.
Yeah, here he goes.
Yeah.
You drinking that with a straw?
So, Bubba, it's the heat as to why you don't drink it?
Well, and the fact it tastes like stump water. I mean, other than that.
It's got a little similar.
But if you had somebody that did like John did for me that day, if they prepared it to where, honestly, all they were bringing you is hot chocolate.
Well, you would drink that.
But
I don't even want my hot chocolate so hot it burns my mouth.
No, that's it.
I agree with that. I get mad sometimes when it's so hot. That's because if you cap it off, forget it. You got to uncap it. Yeah.
But you don't want it cap cold.
Don't want it cold.
What about these cold coffee?
Oh,
drinkers?
Lisa loves them.
Really?
Iced coffee.
That's all. Yeah.
Oh, Lisa will have an iced coffee that tall.
Yeah, I'm not into that.
I'm not either. Yeah. She loves
it. Hey, the caffeine you're getting too. Hey, those amounts. Hey. I like caffeine. I think it should be a vitamin.
Sure. Well, they've always, like you
C-12.
Said, they've tried to make it bad.
Two a day.
They just can't do it. Bubba, when we come back, thousands of everyday snacks that may face being banned.
Rick, it's called the Skittles ban.
We'll share those with you. We'll get phone calls bottom of the hour as the show continues.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
So, Bubba, we've talked about the snacks. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I don't like when I hear that snacks that we love may face being banned in multiple states because they are linking their ingredients to cancer.
Rick, some people are referring to this as the Skittle ban, set to go into force January 2027.
Oh, boy.
And it's outlawed four very common additives that you find in breakfast cereals, sweets, and beverages.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not even going to try to give you these names on this.
No, don't worry about it, buddy. There's
no need for anybody to get hurt. I can give you one of them, Red number 3.
Now, I thought we heard about Red 3
red
for a long time.
Red 9's been in there.
Red 3 supposed to be the good red that replaced the bad red, and now they're saying the one that replaced the bad red is also bad?
I'd always heard Yellow 5 was the one that...
I heard about that one, too, as a kid.
So here are candies and additives that are on the chopping block. Yellow number 6... Yellow 5 and 6, titanium dioxide, blue number 1, red 40, various other food dyes.
Well,
yellow 5
red
40.
Oh, blue 1, that's Oreos.
Contains benzene, which is linked to blood cancer and hyperactivity. I noticed most all of these are connected to hyperactivity.
Yeah, of course they are.
Could it be the sugar in there?
Could be. Bubba, do you see who's on this list?
Oh, yeah. Pop-Tarts are on there.
Whoa.
Jell-O, Whoppers.
What?
M&M's, I mean, Oreos is involved.
Gatorade is on there.
You can't even.
I mean, hey, you can't even have Nerds.
Lucky Charms, Trix, Fruit Loops, several salad dressings.
Not Sour Patch Kids.
Why? Get out of here. How's the salsa on there?
Now they're saying that there are studies to back up that these ingredients can cause a list of problems.
Mm-hmm.
Thyroid, gastrointestinal cancers, mood disorders, just to name a few. Mm. The ban in California triggered similar law movement in New York, Illinois, New Jersey, Missouri, and Pennsylvania. Rick, a lot of this is based on what Europe is doing and looking at this. And I may surprise y'all with this, my take on it. Before it becomes political and we have to decide, is this a liberal or conservative issue, this is kind of crazy. Why don't we check the science of what the Europeans have done and see if this is valid or not, if it is conclusive or not, and then let's mirror that with our own research, see if we get similar results. And if something is causing cancer at a higher rate, let's take it out of the food. I don't have a problem with that if it's real. And if it's, but if it's just, hey, somebody said and all of that, I'm not for that. I want us to actually get back on the science, on scientific issues.
Wow, there's a concept.
And if we have to change Lucky Charms because it has something that will raise your risk significantly of cancer, I'm all for changing it. If we can't prove that, leave it alone.
Well, I will say,
let it be.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Well said. Do you agree, though, is it really surprising to us that here's a pile of things on a sheet of paper other than that salad dressing that's on a sheet of paper that we say, so you're telling me that foods that have fake colors,
fake taste.
Fake taste, fake sweeteners. You're telling me those things are bad for us?
Yeah.
Does anybody, no. Did anybody? These are all highly processed. We don't even know. Made in laboratories to have long shelf life and all this. Are we really surprised that these products may not be good for us?
So I guess that's why they spell Fruit Loops, F-R-O-O-T. It's not fruit, fruit that you eat.
No, you could lay these loops down to real fruit, and they would go, we don't know these people.
Here is the problem when you live in an industrialized society, which we do, and it has a lot of positives. You have highways, you have cars, you have TVs, you have jobs, you have sporting events to go. I mean, that's what we get from living in an industrialized society, but there is a bad side to it. We have to mass produce things,
right.
And to do that, we have to have concentrated chemicals.
Yep.
And when you do that, you're always playing with fire. Now, sometimes it makes no difference, but you have to find out the ones that are going to cause issues. And most of the time, it's not the chemical itself, it's the amount that you get.
Right.
Because, again, we're living in a society that demands concentrated chemicals. But, Rick, every meal we have, we either have processed food or we have fresh food. And the number of fresh meals we have are smaller than ever, and the number of processed meals are more than ever. So do you think that might cause us problems with our health because we are what we eat? Well, yeah, it does.
Yep.
It's a convenience factor. Look, if mom stayed home and grandmom stayed home and maybe the aunt lived with you and they could produce a Thanksgiving-type meal every day for everybody to come in from the fields and eat, we would be a better society. We would probably live longer. But we don't have that. We're not willing to do that.
No.
So we're also not shortcuts, and you know that gets you an average life expectancy of 76.
Right, and when it comes to kids and these highly sweetened cereals and stuff like that, what we do is we give it to them because it's what they want and out of convenience. And then when they're hyperactive and can't sit still, then we go give them a drug to make them sit still.
Mm-hmm. And no telling how that's affecting
and just
you
keep
long-term.
Feeding them the same thing and hope the drug will offset it.
Yep.
Bottom of the hour.
You could get away with eating that sugar if you worked in the fields before you went to school. Then you'd sit there because you would give out.
We'll take your phone calls next. 866-WE-BE-BIG. All 10 lines available, America.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Rick, got one email here on the story we had about additives. Said, I'm all for it. This is the type of protection I want. Don't let corporations poison us, especially the poor and uneducated. And this is from Elizabeth. Elizabeth, I agree with you 100% if we can prove it.
Right.
Not just do it because we're wanting to do something or based on shoddy science. Show me the science. Look, this goes back to pollution again. And we're going through various phases of that. No one wants dirty air and dirty water, okay? Who are the people that want that? Anybody?
I don't want to hang out.
But, we know now we have some of these forever chemicals that are not breaking down like I was talking about. They're staying concentrated, and they can gang up and pile up in your body over time and in fish and other things. So we do have to protect that. I'm all for the EPA being involved in that and the FDA being involved in that. That's what they should be doing. Now, what I don't think they should be doing is tell someone who owns land that they can't dam up a stream that I can step over to make a pond so I can fish in it.
Right.
See, that's overstepping. That's sure. They're out of there. Stay with the science stuff. Let us know what you find out. Let the process go forward. If something is bad for us, we can prove it. We have steps to take it out of the production. Let's do that.
Are you saying shut your hole and know you're wrong?
Yes. Okay. Yes. And, Rick, I've always wondered what animal we kill to make Oreos.
That's true. By the way, Biden said just release something, too. He'd also like for there to be a ban on cannibalism.
Right.
Wow. No eating people.
I think we have that.
Let's go to Debbie, Kentucky, Bluegrass State.
Don't be a downer.
Hey, Debbie. Yeah, go ahead.
Woo, good morning.
Hey.
Boy, you all have got me riled up today over this nutritionist that we feed kids in the morning. The National School Lunch Program will not recognize meat as a breakfast choice. We have to feed them so much whole grains, so much sweet items. So you take a child that slept all night long, high energy, which us old people need that energy. But anyway, so a high energy child, you feed them full of sweets, and then you go tell them to sit down the rest of the day and be quiet.
Yeah, no meat? You can't have meat?
They can have meat, but you have to list it as a grain.
Well, meat is not a grain.
No, no, it's not.
You would.
Yeah.
I wish you could see our faces.
If you look up, if you look up the USD guidelines, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And anybody that is in a public school that are eating national school lunch, this is a guidelines that we're having to follow. You know, it's 80% whole grain, 20% regular. You know, before we started force feeding all these kids whole grains, who had heard of celiac disease, gluten allergies? You know,
yep.
USDA is trying to kill our kids.
Yep. Well, thank you for that. Somebody from the front lines. Already saw the Trump video because after he started playing it, he found it. But
it'll be funny, a joke, and it so does resemble him
as a young man a lot. Yeah. But you had something that you wanted to say before.
Yeah, we're talking about these chemicals, mm-hmm. and I would tell everybody and encourage them, don't jump on either side of this argument till you know the facts,
right,
and look into it for yourself. Can corporations lead you wrong? Yes. The government lead you wrong? The government is the biggest, most corrupt corporation there is.
And probably have lost their credibility through the pandemic where people don't listen to what they say much at all.
Yeah, so look behind the curtain on all that. Right. But I always feel like to err to safety side when it comes to health and things. But one of the things I changed, like now being at remission for liver cancer, and we've all heard all the news about Roundup and some of that may be anytime something is a poison and kills things, you need to take a close look at it.
I think so.
But I'm not terrified of Roundup. I still use it in limited situations to kill weeds where that's really the only thing you can work with. But one of the things I changed this year is on our green fields. Used to, we would spray them with Roundup, let everything die, turn it under, come back, and plant. But you still had that residue where you see it could get into the food chain of what's going on. Mm-hmm. So this year I told my guy that plants for me, I said, what do we got to do to stop that process? I'm more sensitive to chemicals now around me and all this kind of stuff. He said, well, we're going to have to like bush hog it twice. It'll take us more time to get ready to plow it under than if we just sprayed it once and it was dead. And I said, well, let's do that. I want to make that investment. We're gonna kill this grass, plow it under, make new green fields without using massive spraying of Roundup this time. So that's just something I did in my life. I'm not saying everybody ought to do that, but that's kind of, I think we need to just look at things, be careful, and not jump to conclusions. Now, honestly, none of us can go in the laboratory and look at some of these chemicals and see if they're bad for you. I mean, we're gonna have to trust somebody, right?
Yeah.
So just be careful your sources and know their possible conflicts anytime they put that kind of thing out, and research it for yourself. And you can make, I think, some wise decisions that will probably be good for you in the long haul.
No doubt. So here's the video of Trump. It's not Trump, but it is a Trump lookalike on Soul Train
with a mullet.
And Greg, he is throwing down.
Is this like the Nick Saban guitar?
Greg. Now picture that being. Picture that being young Trump. And I mean, buddy, he is throwing it down.
I can't see him good enough to see if he looks like Trump or not.
Well, he looks enough like young Trump that if he turns like that and you get that side
God,
view,
that's funny.
And his hair is kind of like Trump's hair, you know. That's good stuff right there.
What's that dance, Bubba? What's he doing?
That's a good one there. It looks like he's been having a spasm.
That's some kind of popping, locking robot shuffle. I don't know what that is.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's a featured dancer on Soul Train.
Yes, he is.
Have you seen all these people doing the motorcycle now? Uh-uh. And the guy that claims he started it
in
India.
No, I'm not familiar with with the motorcycle.
Yeah, you'll see groups doing it.
Okay. I haven't seen that one. I bet
it's
when I see
it. It's easy to identify.
Yeah, I bet when I saw it, I go, I bet that's the motorcycle.
Can you do it?
No, I'm just saw it done. But, it's not that. I mean, it's a lot of this, you know.
Uh-huh. Not a whole lot.
Hand
too.
Motion.
Not a whole lot.
And some of them are kick-starting as they move.
All right, so now let's get to Caitlin Clark.
The latest in the dance moves.
There it is.
From Rick and Bubba.
The motorcycle, originating out of India. So we don't know why this is a story. From what I've gathered, Greg, you talked about it, that a reporter, and I don't know why a reporter would give her that hand heart sign that you know, everybody who's now a big deal has to set up with the crowd or to their family this heart thing.
You're doing a good job there.
Yeah. At one time, I thought they were trying to look through binoculars.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
I thought they were looking through binoculars. I'm like, why are they putting binoculars on?
That's a broken heart you're holding.
Yeah, well.
Crumpled heart.
You must not know my family. But anyway, so when you – but they're saying that this was awkward – Because I guess the awkward
unnecessary part, maybe.
Why would the reporter do this heart sign to her, and she doesn't know what the reporter wants? Do you want me to talk about that sign, or I did that to my family when we won? What do you know?
I don't like moments like
this. Oh, I know. No, core temperature rising. So so here it is, and they're just referring to it as an awkward interview moment. Here we go.
Hi, Caitlin, Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
So he does the heart.
You like that?
I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me, and we'll be able to get along just fine. So, question is.
That's a story? I don't even think it's that awkward.
I thought she handled it.
Is that not an inappropriate comment from a reporter? That's what I thought the story was. You can do that to me and we'll get along fine.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's creepy and
weird.
That's
kind of weird.
First of all, why did he even bring it up?
Yeah, I don't know why he's bringing it up. I think what he meant, now I do agree with you, it can have those connotations, and that's why you shouldn't do it. But I think what he probably meant was, I'm press. Don't hate the press. Don't be upset with me. Give me interviews. You know, treat me right. It was terrible. It shouldn't have been done.
But wasn't a story.
But I don't think it's as big as everybody made it out to be. I've seen things much more awkward. Mm. Now, is that goofy? It is goofy. And how did it affect you? We really have to go to you, secondhand embarrassment.
It was difficult because it took her to Mississippi to figure out what he was doing and why.
That's good.
And you don't have to show a picture
that's
of him.
Buddy.
That's
him.
It's not
Speedy.
Me.
Speedy,
why do you keep
him.
Looking at me?
It's Speedy.
Because he's bald. I'm not every bald guy.
I didn't even say it.
Throw a goatee.
But, you know, a lot of times when we're on air, we can't talk. We have to use hand signals to each other to communicate.
So, boy, do it.
So, Greg, from time to time, I'm just going to look at you and just do that to you.
Oh, okay. I hope that never.
I've never thought this looks like a heart.
Yeah, I don't know.
He said, Greg Doyle tweeted, Caitlin Clark, I'm so sorry. I was part of the problem.
What problem?
It seemed creepy to me and weird.
Really?
This is another reason that the 80s were better than what we're living in now.
That was
In the 80s, this is what we do.
That's all you had to do.
Two pats to the heart, point at you, and it just
that's
meant love you, buddy. Man.
And those of us.
You didn't have to do all this if you got arthritic hands.
That's what I'm just about to say.
You can't do it and have the steering wheel driving.
I think that's the first time I've ever done that signal. I have never done that.
I can't.
But to you, Greg?
I can't do it, A, because I don't desire to. But B, even if I desired to, with Bubba's point, my hands have so much arthritis, I'm afraid I'm going to make the sign of the occult.
I don't know.
One of those out there you got to watch.
Hey, Greg, that's not the sign.
No, Greg, man. That's not.
Did you see what he did?
That's a different sign.
My hands don't work right.
Okay, friend.
Buddy.
You know, Bubba, another good thing about the 80s than today is the fact there was no WNBA in the 80s.
Oh, there he is.
That was also a pretty good deal.
There, Greg at Rick and Bubba. Wait a minute. What am I talking about?
They never turned a profit, by the way.
I was about to say, who's going to email you? There's not enough people
that care.
That's
what I've been saying.
Well, I'll go back.
I feel safe.
Did you say Babylon B? Everybody wants to help the WNBA except for actually buying tickets and going to the game.
That would help.
Top of the hour.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Is in Huntsville, standing by. Clark, you got 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Rick, I had a question for you.
Okay.
You are reading a debt relief ad recently. You mentioned that they try to keep them trapped in their prison.
Yes.
And then also gave options for debt relief and to lower your debt.
Yes.
I was curious why you don't have that same thoughts for student loan relief.
What do you mean? I do. Well, here's the thing on that. If you can find somebody that will say we'll cut that down, you know, kind of like we even had forgiving of debts in the scriptures. Yeah. And so the thing on student loans, the problem you have on the student loan is that we're all still paying for other people's college. You know, if I am a organization and I say you owe me $15,000 and it's my organization, my company, And they're like, I'll never be able to pay that back. And I come to them and say, well, we will allow grace. How about $7,500? And they go, you know what? That'll help me. And if I agree to do that, I don't have any problem with that at all. The problem with the student loans, you're kind of talking apples and oranges. I mean, we're all going to continue to pay for people's college. Even if, you know, the student loans are forgiven, we're all going to be hit with that. I mean, there's not going to be, you know, because the college has got their money.
Yeah.
It's really two different things. Now, this company is helping you walk through this and look at ways to lower your situation. And I don't have a problem if the company works with you to try to lower your liability and work through your any loan that you've got. But I don't think blanket forgiveness of these things is doing anybody any good. You teach people that they don't have responsibility. Somebody's got to pay for that, which will be the government where they print more money. So it's two different things. It really is nowhere close.
We allow people to declare bankruptcy.
Yeah,
and they end up trying to find a way out.
I would take it a step further. I would say if you're for these across the board forgiveness of student loans, why don't we have across the board forgiveness for every mortgage in the country?
Right.
No matter how much, we're just going to forgive it.
Why stop?
So if it's good, if a little of it's good, a whole lot of it should be better. So and you know that will never happen. It would collapse the economy. Yeah. Which, somebody's going to have to pay for it.
Well, when you talk about the government getting involved in forgiving student loans versus a company that will negotiate with each individual person you owe money and see if they can help you, that's not the same thing. If zapmydebt.com can go to whoever you got your student loan from and get them to give you a better deal, or how about you 50% we'll free you of it, fine. But the government forgiving student loans, that's a completely different situation.
Mm.
We continue. Allison in Kentucky. Allison, 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to talk about the food dyes. We've tried to cut them out of my toddler's diet, and so we've actually found that an alternative for Fruit Loops is one of the off brands, and it's actually cheaper and it tastes better.
Wow.
But it's not fluorescent in color. So I think as Americans, we look for that bright neon color.
Yep.
But actually they can dye the foods with healthier alternatives and they taste better.
Wow. Yeah, and like Bubba said, I think it, you know, there's no way. I mean, we're not saying you can never have Fruit Loops, but if Fruit Loops can be healthier, good. You know, if there's something that we can prove, you got to prove it. Now, I want
to
keep
it to be real. We're not going to just make blind assumptions. It's going to cost these companies money and take taste out of a product. But if it's a problem, let's identify it and let's work to do it. And I think you're doing what everybody ought to do. You be a responsible parent. If you feel like that exposure to these chemicals could harm a young child, then you take them away from the young child. If you're not bothered by it, eat Fruit Loops. I mean, it's, you know, I think that's where we need to be landing on this, as opposed to I automatically have to ban all chemicals that someone said is bad, or I'm not going to listen to them. This is some kind of left-handed move from the far left to get me.
Right.
I mean, sometimes it's in the middle, guys. Yeah, right. Sometimes it's in the middle.
Alan out of Asheville. Alan, go ahead, 30 seconds.
Good morning, guys. I've been listening since 95, and I can remember when when you asked for or got people to donate for the hot dog launcher.
The people's
good. I was wondering what happened, to it, and if you still had it, what were y'all going to do with it when the show was over?
That's a good question.
We still have it. It's in the storage room. It is still operational. It has not been used in public
since the incident.
We call the tragedy in Hattiesburg.
The incident.
That's the last time it was fired.
The incident.
It has been on ice
spooked.
Since then.
A little spooked.
And it will be part of the property of Rick and Bubba, Inc. that will have to be disposed of at some point along the way.
As a matter of fact, I talked to Bubba about it, and I had a guy, his name was Solomon or something, and he said we could cut it in half.
We do need to set up the parking lot and launch a few.
Why
not?
Well, Greg, you don't remember.
I'm still
traumatized. I was traumatized by that. I'm sorry.
It was one of the worst feelings I ever had when I saw chunks of glass falling.
Yeah,
and
that was
like,
bad.
And the worst part about it, the tour was going so well. We felt so good.
What
about
an opening
it.
Night we had.
We felt so good about it up to that point. I just felt so good about it
right until we saw.
That's so funny. It just played during the breaks. You guys were recapping.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Let's continue. let's go to Adam in Birmingham. Adam, go ahead. 30 seconds.
If Adler goes Amish, is he going to have Henry pull that sweet A wagon he's going to have to get?
That's good.
I guess so. Bailey in Calera. Bailey, 30 seconds. Go.
Yes, sir. How you guys doing?
Good.
I always wondered, do y'all on the morning show, do y'all have any, is it scripted or is it just whatever Speedy and Greg and Hamzy wants to do?
Yeah, it's pretty much every word is scripted. I'm reading off a teleprompter right now.
Yeah.
Right. We even knew you were going to call scripted your call out today.
I said, hey, let Coach Snore know.
Okay.
You called exactly when you're supposed to. Right. You followed the script to a T. Thank you.
Right.
Perfect.
As a matter of fact, if this teleprompter in front of us ever goes off the show, we'll just go silent.
Right. Mm-hmm. We'll just sit here and stare blankly into the camera.
Let's go to John
and
in Huntsville.
Roll a flashback.
John, 100.3 The River, go.
Yeah, just a little quick comment on the gentleman that called in about student loan forgiveness. Yes, if we want to tie it biblically, I mean, forgiveness is a fantastic thing that Christ did for us.
Sure.
But when he did it, he didn't require Jimmy down the street to pay part of it. You know, the government doesn't need to come in and pay for part of it. Bingo. There's a difference in forgiveness and elimination and then spreading it amongst everybody else.
Bingo.
Boom.
Bingo. Well said.
And clearly,
which is what we were trying to say, but you said it better.
Yeah.
And 23 seconds,
just
by the
helping
way.
Out.
And clearly this is a situation where they're just trying to buy votes with the public treasury. And if it was so, wouldn't we start with getting the cost of college down for those people that are signing up today? And what about somebody that's wanting to go today and they go to make a loan? Or should they expect their loan to be forgiven too?
When's it in?
If loan forgiveness for that is good, then we need to start one, I think, a good place, car loan forgiveness. And then let's move to retiring all mortgage, private and public and commercial, all at one time. And nobody will owe anything anymore on anything.
Cindy in Texas.
And you know what? There is a biblical reference for that
every seven years.
The Jubilee, which may give us a better idea about what you can afford if you can't pay it off in 7 years. Maybe you don't need it. But anyway, I won't get into that today. That's a whole nother topic.
And the caller made the point. That biblical concept is called debt elimination.
Yep.
Not you don't have to pay it, but everybody else has to pay it for you.
Yeah.
Redistributed.
Cindy in Texas says she can tell us what's coming down the pike on the student loans. Go ahead.
Hey, y'all, and I'll do it quick, but maybe Bubba will have mercy on me and won't buzz me.
Okay.
So I work for the student loan industry, and as the background is, you could be bank loans if you went to college. School approved you, you went to a bank, you got it. And then, of course, the federal government said, no, we're going to do it. Well, then the private lenders still have a market because, you know, you can only get X amount if you're a freshman, junior, sophomore, senior. So, you know, your cost of attendance has to be made up with private loans. Well, private loans are the ones that can't be forgiven. Hallelujah. I have a very strong premonition, and my team has been talking about this. More than likely, the federal government is going to shut down even the private loan programs. They're going to do it all, which means somebody can go in and get, instead of a $10,000 loan to pay for school, they can get a $30,000 loan to pay for all of their school. And then even that can be forgiven. So this is going to turn into a huge, huge problem, which I think is going to go to what Bubba says. Well, then let's forgive your mortgage. Let's forgive this. Okay.
Offer votes federal, and offer power.
The federal government is going to, and I would probably say in the next 5 years, totally take out the private student lending program. So as a company, we're going to start diversifying. We're going to start doing other stuff.
Now, you really make a good point. You really do, because it gives them, boy, so much power to be able to buy votes. No matter what destruction it brings, it keeps them in power.
Print that money. I wonder why inflation's going up.
And how could it be? And I know the horror stories of these government student loan programs. They are evil and wicked too, buddy. You talk about trapping you. We'll be back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Now, Bubba, we've heard murmur about the Democrats' game plan this year. Honestly, if this game plan, not that the details may be different, but in general, if the game plan that you say people are discussing, Bubba, that claim they know, if this game plan isn't the game plan of the Democrats, then they are stupid. I hope this is their plan, but anyway, so here we go.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's just one, rumor. We'd heard Roger Stone.
Murmur.
Roger Stone was the first one I heard that said the Democrats will replace Biden before the election. And that was like a year ago. Well, there's another guy named Jim Richards, and it's spelled with a K, Rick A-R-D-S. And he is saying that, he's given a date. He said that Biden will announce on June the 13th, he'll have a press conference and announce he is withdrawing from the race, and that the Democrats then will be faced with coming up with a candidate during their convention
shadow
in
candidate.
Chicago.
Shadow candidate.
And that shadow candidate is already in place and already ready to go. Now, Roger Stone said it was going to be Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama said she don't want it, but you know how that goes in politics or football coaches.
Right.
You never know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he is claiming that that it is done. Now, he says he has been he has worked with the CIA, the NSA. He's worked with several presidents, all the way back to Nixon on different things. And so he says he's an insider and he's got the scoop. But I don't know if it's valid or not. Who knows?
Well, I go back to my original statement. If you're the Democratic Party, I hope this is your plan. If your plan is to stay with Biden all the way to November at the rate he's declining, I know you're saying, well, Rick, they have a shadow government in place now. That may be, but the difficulty of just trying to put on this charade, it's going to get harder and harder to do. And to me, if he keeps declining like he is, there's going to be just walking around logic of people going, well, this person, it doesn't make us safe as citizens. It doesn't put us in a good place in the world. And we at home or abroad, we are going to vote against him. If you're the Democrats and this isn't your plan, then I don't think you're very smart. I hope this is your plan. If you're a Democrat.
And I don't know if he knows what he's talking about or not, but he would be the second person to come out and say that that something is coming. He even gave you the date, so I don't know.
And when we interviewed, was it Scott McKay? When we interviewed him on the Rick and Bubba University podcast, he said that they did want Michelle Obama. The problem is that when Michelle has been given responsibility in the past, she doesn't really like to work. That she prefers to travel. She's big on vacation, and that the problem is she doesn't like to be hassled with that responsibility,
right?
Because
her and
she's
Biden would get along.
Yeah, well, she's wealthy.
Well,
she doesn't have to work.
She's got to have a pretty good life right now,
right? Yeah,
I mean, and this would be a disruption for that. Even though it would be, President Obama running everything again. Now, Jim Richards does quote the latest polling data saying that Trump wins head-to-head. Mm-hmm. And the Democrats know this, and he's winning head-to-head in toss-up states, battleground states. All six out of seven he's ahead of. But he is saying that if you replace Biden with another Democrat, and it's just unknown Democrat, and the same poll that the unknown Democrat will win by five to 6 points because of the dislike of Trump by so many.
Yeah. So as a Trump supporter, I hope they stay with Biden. Someone who just looks at things and goes, that's a terrible idea.
Yeah, I don't know how you can.
If I put on the Democrat coat, which doesn't fit, but I would go, well, I hope this is our plan.
Yeah.
Surely we're not riding this all the way to November. So that to me, that's plausible. I'm not saying it's going to happen like you said, but the same thing. But I'm not saying they're going to do it, but it sure does make a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't, then they're not very smart.
So interesting.
No, you're right. Yeah.
It is election season.
And according to McKay on the podcast, he said they want another yes man, and so Gavin Newsom wouldn't really fit that.
No, because he's his own yes man.
He's his own yes man.
He's about Gavin, and they want somebody that will, curtsy to Obama and continue that run of control and command that he's doing now.
But you know what I mean? You know why this guy's saying this on the polls? It makes a lot of sense. We've all been in that situation, haven't you, where you wanted to do something – but the state of it, you're like, well, I can't really do that. Somebody give me an excuse not to do this because I don't want to vote for the Republicans. And somebody says, but I feel like an idiot supporting a man who clearly is in the stages of Alzheimer's and dementia. And all of a sudden they go, okay, good news. When you vote Democrat this time, it's not for Biden. It's for a shadow person. And they go, okay, whew, thank goodness. All right, I'm back in.
Yeah.
That's really what he's saying, isn't it?
Pretty much. You know, all these celebrity pictures have resurfaced where Trump used to be buddies with, you know, most of the Democrats.
Of course.
I'm talking about from Oprah to Hillary. I mean, they would smooze and stuff and be at all these gatherings and stuff and interact. And now they all hate his guts.
Yeah.
It's funny the transformation that once he changed and did certain things, now they all hate him. But it's funny that they've all resurfaced and they're like, okay, they were all real buddies back then. And it was like be a Brady Bunch box of a picture of like seven or eight prominent Democrats that were all hugged up with him, and now they hate his guts.
Well, yeah.
donating to their campaign.
Yeah, yeah, and go back to what Greg points out all the time, and we have as well, which look at Kamala Harris, what she said about Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean now Joe Biden's the greatest thing ever. At one time, he was a sexual predator.
Yeah.
And a racist.
Yeah, I mean,
pretty much called him that.
She dogged him everything he's worth, but she had no problem going to work for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
which means either you're
a sellout or you didn't believe it, what's your deal?
There's not another option.
No, really not. No.
Yeah. She made some statement. They asked her, and she was like, well, it was a debate. So, saying that, so a lot of the points you made in the debate, you're saying you really don't mean.
No.
Is that what you're saying?
Or you would have
so which
no
ones
problem.
Do we keep and which ones do we not?
Would you go to work for Trump if he offered you a job?
Right.
I mean, you know, it's the same thing. Yeah. She basically said worse things about Joe Biden than she has about Trump.
You're right.
True.
Well, where Kamala and all of you are making the point, where Kamala, I would say where you're wrong. No. A debate is when you tell us why you're a better candidate than the other person based on tax structure, foreign policy, you know, infrastructure, all this. But you didn't do that. See, those things, I admit, you can go and say, well, I can be his running mate because we just disagreed on some things, fiscally, whatever.
You call him a criminal.
But when you call him a racist and a sexual predator, and then you say, well, that's water under the bridge. Now, those are two pretty big accusations. Those are big ones.
I think that's why Biden made Kamala the border czar. It's just like he knew he was going to open the gates and name her as the border czar. That can help kind of put kind of some of the blame on her. That's what I think.
Well, it also gives you a shield because she's a female of color. And you can't be critical of a female of color or you're a misogynist and a racist.
Right.
You know, so.
Sure.
That's been a Democratic strategy for a while now. They did that with Obama. You were not allowed to disagree with him or you're a racist. And they always play those kind of games. So their deal with merit is not a big deal to them. It's all how would it play politically?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
How could we have power and protect ourselves against any kind of accusation or defense against us? Hey, we don't really like the way you do taxes. Why? Because you're a racist? Wait a minute. I didn't. What? I mean, they play that game all the time. I don't want to vote for Hillary Clinton. Oh, because you're a misogynist? No. I think she's evil. Right. Yeah, that's what misogynists say.
Gavin Newsom, to me, looks like the number one replacement. I don't know what y'all think.
Oh, well, I think he's been running all along. Yeah. But according to one of our guests, he's too independent. He won't get in line.
Yeah, not a yes man. We'll be back.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Bubba, do you want to reveal what the guy said who candidate was?
Okay, so I watched this during the break, and he said he knew some of the names that had been out there, and he said there's several possibilities. He listed the Michigan governor as one of them. But he said that all indications to him is it's Gavin Newsom. So Newsom's been running, as we've said, a shadow campaign for 12 months. Yep. He's meeting with world leaders. He's doing things that you would do if you were running for president, not being governor of California. But again, wow, what a track record in California.
Oh, yeah. Did you say the guy said he's dumber than Biden?
That's what the guy
said. Did he really?
He said he's out there.
Okay, well.
I mean, don't you think that the GOP, though, they have a couple of plans in case something like this happens?
Well
at least I hope so. I mean, I know a defensive coordinator does if, you know, if they're getting beat in a football game.
Yeah, sure.
The guy points out that the Democrats have done this before.
Yeah.
And they did it in 68 with Lyndon Johnson.
I mean,
he was unpopular. Exactly. He was sitting president, and he bailed out after winning most of the primaries, so he had his delegates intact. And that Biden will stay till the end of the season for his gathering delegates, and then he can, you know, release them under law to whoever he has handpicked to, you know, he will ask them to nominate this person at the convention. So they'll go to the convention floor with most of the delegates, quote, undecided or uncommitted, but would probably follow whatever orders they bark down.
Yep. And this guy,
because they have the super delegates too, you know, which kind of stacks the deck.
Yep.
Remember Bernie Sanders was winning primaries but had no hope of the nomination.
Right. They just wouldn't let him have it.
Right.
Bubba, and if you want to see the state of the left that may or may not be working this plan.
These are the names of America.
Bubba, the new...
The guy even named the operation. It's called Operation Stalking Horse. I've never heard of it.
Stalking Horse.
That's all news to me. So.
New NPR. Bubba, I know you're a big NPR fan.
Oh, National Public Radio.
Yeah, the new CEO, Catherine Marr, I guess. She was a former chief executive of Wikipedia. You'll find out why Wikipedia can't really be trusted after she talks about this. She wants to explain to us, Bubba, that truth is an outdated concept.
Can I say this? When I sent this to Adler yesterday, there's a challenge in play. Can the Burgess boys play this in its entirety without belling or thinking about the birds outside and stuff like that?
Because right.
you're going to feel it, but that's the challenge.
It's not as bad as the light guy yesterday, right?
No, well, but it's going to give you a headache.
Right.
I skip forward about 30 seconds.
That's okay. They'll still bail.
She's talking about, before this, she's talking about Wikipedia, but now here she gets cut straight to the truth.
Okay. So you're cheating a little bit.
A little
bit. It's okay.
Good.
Okay.
All right. Good. Yeah. Good.
I'm watching Rick.
But perhaps for our most tricky disagreements, seeking the truth and seeking to convince others of the truth might not be the right place to start. In fact, our reverence for the truth might be a distraction that's getting in the way of finding common ground and getting things done.
Still got a minute for the
truth. Wait a minute. I've heard enough.
That is not to say that the truth doesn't exist, nor is it to say that the truth isn't important. Clearly, the search for the truth has led us to do great things, to learn great things. But, I think if I were to really ask you to think about this, one of the things that we could all acknowledge is that part of the reason we have such glorious chronicles to the human experience and all forms of culture is because we acknowledge there are many different truths.
Are you still listening?
And so in the spirit of that, I'm certain that the truth exists for you and probably for the person sitting next to you.
Oh boy.
But this may not be the same truth. This is because the truth of the matter is very often, for many people, what happens when we merge facts about the world with our beliefs about the world. So we all have different truths. They're based on things like where we come from, how we were raised, and how other people perceive us.
No.
I think you cheated, Adler. You know what you saw then was somebody who was asked to give a TED Talk and had absolutely nothing to say.
That's true.
And that's what they
came
up with.
That's your truth.
That's
your truth.
That is my truth. Yeah.
Now, what we need to do is lie so we'll get along.
But you understand this is the mindset that gives us there's no gender.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly.
I'm sorry, that's not
no truth.
That's not somebody. That's not somebody's truth. That is truth that there are two genders. That's not somebody's truth.
That's
fact. That is the truth.
There's fact,
and there's also biological science that tells us that they're not interchangeable. We know this. Okay, so but she says that may be your truth. No, that is the truth.
That's really it.
It just is. So anyway, next, Bubba, would you like to know what she thinks is her biggest way to stop disinformation?
Oh, I can't hardly wait. Is it during the same? Oh, this is
another one here. Yeah. Let's listen to this.
Who is this?
She's the president of NPR.
Come on, Greg. Everything on
NPR now she oversees.
Gotcha.
Taxpayer funded NPR.
Okay.
The number one challenge here that we see and is of course the First Amendment in the United States is a fairly robust protection of rights. And that is a protection of rights both for platforms, which I actually think is very important that platforms have those rights to be able to regulate what kind of content they want on their sites. But it also means that it is a little bit tricky to really address some of the real challenges of where does bad information come from and sort of the influence peddlers who have made a real market economy around it.
Bubba, she just said.
You think she had better Wi-Fi?
One of the biggest problems we have on trying to control disinformation is that doggone First Amendment. It's pretty robust.
Yeah, it gets in the way of a lot of stuff.
Pretty robust. Yeah. And sometimes people who want to keep you from seeing and hearing things you want to hear, they can't do it because of that First Amendment. That's our biggest problem.
That's in the way. But don't forget.
But then she did say that these platforms need to be able to regulate the type of speech that's on there, which fights against the First Amendment.
It does. Right.
What she said almost conflicted there.
It did.
She was talking about two different things.
Or does it? She's saying that we want to be able to do it, but this doggone right that people have been given keep us from being able to do it.
Yeah.
And so really, now don't forget, when someone says they want to control what you can hear and see, has also just told you there is no truth.
Yes.
If you combine that, put that little suit together.
That's quite a...
So then I will now ban you based on my truth.
Yeah. That may not be yours.
That may not... See, it just...
Well, they're in a circle firing squad.
Yes, there's no way.
Yeah. And this goes back again to the platforms. Are we going to hold the platforms responsible so that they have to edit content? Now, if they edit content, they also should be open to liability on people that they edit out. They should be able to be sued for that. Or are we going to say they're not responsible, let everything go through, and then not hold them responsible for the consequences of that speech? They're really trying to have it both ways right now. And I go back and I give this example. We had the same thing with the phone company. They're a common carrier. So the phone company's not responsible if somebody uses a telephone to plan a crime.
Right, that's right.
But at the same time, the phone company will not shut down somebody who is planning a crime because they're monitoring them for content.
Well, what they're saying, they always act like it's to protect you from danger, but what they're proving is it's not, because remember, they always look at what they want to ban and what they don't want to ban. They want their worldview and ideology to be unopposed. With Kathy in Sweet Home, Alabama. Kathy, go ahead.
Hi. Yes. First, I'm in a car and I don't know where the microphone is, so am I yelling?
You sound good.
You're good. You're all right. Go ahead.
Okay, good. You had played the clip about the questioning of the word folks, and it sounded to me like I'm in my car, so I can't see anything. Sounded like they asked the president lady, and she said she didn't know anything. Sounded like there was a man next to her. He didn't know anything.
Right.
Was there another woman on the other side?
Correct.
Because I heard somebody say, yes, we talked about that.
Yes.
And then the clip cut off.
Yep.
And I'd really like to know, is there anything more? What did they talk about?
I want to know. Yeah, what you heard was the president. Then you heard a trustee. And then the final woman was another trustee. She's the one that said, yeah, we did talk about this. And then it cut off.
Well, see, the point the congressman was making, he said, you've got a misspell word here.
Yeah.
And they knew exactly what they were talking about.
Right.
And they're not going to say, yeah, it's a misspell word. No, we did that on purpose because it's more inclusive.
Right.
I mean, the level we're going to now on inclusivity, we have to change the spelling of words. I mean, come on, people. This is getting ridiculous.
Well, especially when there's no need for the word to be changed for your benefit since you're still included in the original spelling of the word.
Yeah.
You're wanting to be elevated to a special place. See, that's not what we all discuss. I thought y'all just wanted to be living your life in society like everybody else.
Right.
But no, you have to have a special version of folks to make sure that you're not included, you're elevated.
Mm-hmm.
We continue. Cecil in the Peach State of Georgia. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up? Do y'all ever think that all these politicians, not all of them, but it's sort of like watching the student council nerds from high school?
No, I do feel that way. I think sometimes there's certainly some exceptions, and I'm thankful for those. That, you know, you have to be careful when people, like, this is their time to tell others what to do and to feel powerful, and they just drink that power juice, and before you know it, you know, they say they were only going to stay a few terms, and they got to stay longer because they become so important, and all of that. I think there's something to be said for that. I do feel that way a lot of times. I'll tell you the thing that concerns me, and I think there's a lot of wisdom that comes with age. as long as you still have can think and but I do think it doesn't hurt for us to have some, you know, at least a little bit younger folks. Sometimes I look around and I say, I see our hands are in the hands of some really, 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 really old people. And maybe somebody else really might need to take that baton. You know?
Yeah.
We continue. Let's go to Casey out of the Music City, Nashville. Casey, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey. I know this is an hours old conversation. I had to tune out, so I apologize. But I wanted to come back to the topic of artificial food dyes because my son is autistic and he also has ADHD, so he's got a few neurodivergencies here. And I've noticed that when I give him items with artificial food coloring in it, he is a totally different person. And I realized that after kind of starting to cut stuff out of his diet, that he started to kind of open up a little bit more. And I'm not saying food dyes are the reason for his autism. I have my own opinions on that.
Sure.
But I do notice that neurodivergent children tend to have more sensitivities to those food items.
Yeah, I even noticed, you know, a lot of times I think we're learning more and more. And this is not new information, but we're learning even more about it because we thought it was just with the elderly, that our gastrointestinal health and our mental health, especially fogginess and cloudiness, they're really, really connected.
Absolutely.
And when you have a healthy gastrointestinal, body, your clarity of thought and fogginess really is so much better. So yeah, I would think since we know those things, how they're connected, it would not surprise me to hear that. And I'm like you when it comes to where we are with the autism spectrum right now. It wasn't said by us. It was said by a medical doctor from Baylor. There's no such thing as a genetic epidemic. We have epidemic numbers now, so it can't all be genetic. So there has been insults, I think, because every individual is so unique, it's hard to nail it down. But I don't know what your opinion on it, and I'm not asking you to give it. But I do agree with you that there's been some sort of insult to a whole generation of people, and we have a 317% increase in autism. And again, that kind of increase can't be genetic. So there you go.
And two, it kind of goes back to the industrialized society.
Yep.
A lot of positives come out of it. But then we have, you know, these processed foods. We have certain things in that might be an issue.
Yep.
We have certain things in our environment chemically that might be an issue. You throw in, you know, something in the middle, and when you add all these together, you come out with, you know, peanut allergies and autistic things and other diseases.
ADHD.
It's a combination of things put together, and it's so complicated, it's hard to get a bead on what it actually is.
It's really
because you can light on one thing and add it or take it away, and you get, well, it looks like an anecdotal, you know, result to that.
Yep.
But then you do it with other people and you don't, and it's very difficult to track down. I mean, it's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, well, you know, and I know, and again, it doesn't work for everybody, and that's the hard part, but I have seen treatments where they address the gastrointestinal health of the child, and they actually go from, like, not being able to communicate, and suddenly they can. And the improvements sometimes have been quite remarkable. So there's no doubt that in some cases, those types of treatments are certainly worth it to take a look at, you know, because sometimes that plays a big role.
Yeah.
So you would, you know, who, like Bubba said earlier, who would have thought that, you know, what you're putting into your body might actually impact your physical and mental health? Probably would.
Yeah.
But again, it has to be proven, not just somebody said. Top of the hour. Thanks for being with us. If you're leaving us, have an outstanding day. Thank you for being with us. If you caught some of the show, but you're like, wait a minute, I didn't catch the whole show. Catch those daily archives on our YouTube channel and podcast channel.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.
Hey, it's Rick and Bubba gathering right here tomorrow for an electric Rick and Bubba show.
Rick, it'll be a big and busy show. It's the Friday edition. The Elite Eight will be here. The Giant Wheel of Meat will spin and scheduled to appear. Dr. Travis Taylor from Skinwalker Ranch.
Don't bring him back in here. All tomorrow on a new show. Thanks for listening to the Daily Best of Rick and Bubba.
To catch the entire show and for all things Rick and Bubba, go to rickandbubba.com, spell out AIM.
Lord willing, we will catch you on the next edition of the Rick and Bubba Show.
Rick and Bubba, Rick and Bubba.